Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8. Of course, verse 7 tells about the birth of her child, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And then verse 19, what a precious verse. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I'm going to preach on this subject this morning. Great mothers have great hearts. Great mothers have great hearts. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for meeting with us this morning. And thank you for blessing us extra special. Not only to see our regular folks here, faithful, faithful people, thank God for them, but Lord, to be blessed with visitors, and Lord, then with the number of mothers that we were blessed to have with us today. And we ask, Lord, that you'll take the scriptures and you'll help each and every one of us. Bless us. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. The truth that I'm going to share with you this morning is a truth that certainly pertains to mothers. But I want to say this. I believe that the biblical principles that we're going to present today has a more broad appeal than just to the moms that are here today. I believe that if you'll listen very carefully this morning, you can learn one of the great secrets of happiness, one of the great secrets of a life of peace and joy and contentment. I want to talk to you about a mother's heart, but everyone here who's not a mom, I pray that you'd listen very carefully. You see, the condition of our heart is a very, very important thing. Mary was very careful what she, first of all, kept in her heart or put in her heart, and then she took the time to ponder upon the things that she chose to put into her heart. Let me give you an illustration of this. I suppose every kid has this growing up. I know I did, but I had in my dresser drawers, in a back corner of my dresser drawers, and you always, as a kid, have to try to hide this thing because you have something called brothers and sisters, all right? But I had a Maxwell coffee tin can with the lid on it. And I would put into that tin can the valuables, the precious things, the treasures, childhood treasures that I accumulated that I thought at least was important. Everybody probably had that little stash. For instance, I would sometimes, north of Brazil, Indiana, the area that we lived in, it had a history of being settled by Native Americans, by Indians. And there were times that we would be out in the creek beds looking through the gravel deposits, and we would find arrowheads at times, and maybe some Indian beads at times, and sometimes just a really cool looking rock. You know, I don't know why, but it just spoke to you as a boy. It's just, this is cool. I've got to keep this. And I would take them back to the house and clean them up. And to me, those were treasures. And so I would put them in there. I started collecting coins as a boy. And I'd go through my dad's change and try to find wheat pennies. And remember the days you could find wheat pennies pretty often, you know. Now, if I knew what they were going to be worth now, I'd have kept all those things. And I even found in the back of a magazine a little advertisement for some of you coin collectors, nerds like me. Okay, the Littleton Coin Company. Anybody ever heard of the Littleton Coin Company? And I would order coins from them and save my money and order a special a quarter or a half dollar or something, and I'd put it in that can. And that was kind of my treasure can. Now, folks, I only put things in there that to me were very, very valuable, very important, very sacred. They meant something to me. Maybe someone weren't worth a whole lot of money, but still they had sentimental value to me. I remember when my grandfather at his farm, when I was growing, first time I finally talked him into letting me shoot his .22 Magnum rifle. Now, as a young boy, that's just, I mean, it don't get any better than this. And I would bug him and ask him, and he'd say, one of these days, and finally he let me shoot his .22 Magnum rifle. And as it ejected the shells, the two or three times I was allowed to shoot it, I went into the grass and found the casings. And boy, that was important to me. And I brought them home, and they went into that can. I was very careful as far as what I put into that little treasure can. And then there would be those rainy days when we couldn't play outside, or times perhaps that I was just a bit bored, and I would remember that can. I didn't do this every day, probably didn't do it every month, but I would from time to time get that can out and jump up on my bunk bed and spread the covers out and put those things out there, and I would go through them, and I would ponder upon those treasures. I would remember that arrowhead and where I was, and I would look at it, and I would relive the time that I found that. And then I'd set it over here, and I'd look at something else and pick it up, and I would ponder that treasure, remember the memory of shooting that rifle with my grandfather, and I would set those shells over. And again, you know what? Worthless as far as monetary, most of it. Meaningless to somebody else that would pick this can up and say, why does he keep this junk? But to me, every single thing in there meant something, and every single thing in there ministered to me, brought to me a happy memory or some event in my life reminded me of it. The word kept here in the scriptures, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The word kept, if you were to study out that word, has the connotation of hand-picking, hand-selecting things of great importance. It has the idea of collecting treasures together. And so Mary was careful about what she handpicked and what she kept in her heart. But Mary kept all these things. What were all these things? Well, it was all of the events of the day that her son was born. Now, I don't think that there was a sentence said that Mary didn't remember. I think the star, she remembered the star. I think she remembered the feeling of devastation, if you will, when they realized there's no room in the inn. I think she, as she went into the barn that was lent to them, and as Joseph did the best he could to spread fresh straw and clean out the manger, knowing that this was going to be the cradle for their firstborn child. And I think that she fastened her eyes upon the animals and upon the structure, and she burned them into her memory as only a new mother can. I think that she remembered all that she went through to get her to that day. I think that when she had the baby and she wrapped it in swaddling clothes and she laid him in that manger, I believe that as she looked upon that the birth of her first son, I believe that memory of that moment was a treasure that she took and placed in her very heart. And many of you mothers are reliving that. Isn't it amazing? No matter how old you are, you may be one of the great, great grandmothers, but I promise you that treasure is still in your heart of the birth of each of your children. And when the shepherds came in, she listened to what they said. She saw their excitement. She heard the story of the angels, and she took those things and placed them in her heart. And then the Bible said she not only kept them there, but she pondered upon them. You know what? If you're to be a great Christian, if you're to be a great person, if you're to be a great father, if you're to be a great mother, if you're to be great in most anything in life, the one thing that you have to do is make sure that you have a great heart. And great mothers, in my estimation, great mothers always carefully take care of their heart. Is it important, preacher, what you place in the treasure chest of your heart? Is extremely important. There's some of you that are battling some things today. There's some of you that say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I am fighting a fight as far as the condition of my heart. I'm fighting a fight on sometimes the anxiousness that I feel. Sometimes I deal with the real life. And by the way, it is very real. The issue of depression I battle against some of the negativity that perhaps I didn't create, but I'm just thrust into. And there's some things that weigh upon me. I want you to listen to me this morning because I want to help you. I want to give you one of the great principles of life, because I believe if you're going to be great at anything, you have to have a great heart. And if you're going to have a great heart, you have to, from time to time, pour out the things that have collected in your heart and decide what is precious and what you ought to keep, and what is meaningless and hurtful, and what you ought to throw away. Is it important what you place in the treasure chest of your heart? Folks, the condition of our heart is very significant. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If you look up the word issues, it has to do with the pathway or the boundaries of life. And I believe that what you put in your heart chooses the boundaries that you'll set in your life and the path that you'll choose in your life. Is what you put in the treasure chest of your heart important? Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. I believe what you keep in your heart affects you physically. Is what I put in the treasure chest of my heart important? I believe so. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I believe what you keep in your heart will determine your walk and your relationship with God. Is what you put in the treasure chest of your heart important? I believe so, because what you keep in your heart will affect the words that you say each and every day. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew 12:34. Is it important, preacher, what I've got in the treasure chest of my heart? I believe so. I believe what you keep in your heart will be what you will one day become. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I want you to, if you will today, go through that little exercise with me. I'd like you to take and ask God to help you with this, and take the things that you've put in your heart and placed in your heart and allowed to accumulate in your heart, and have one of those moments where we spread it out on the bedspread of life and take a look at it, not just with our eyes, but invite God in on this process. David wrote, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And David wanted God to be active in going through the contents of his heart and saying, are there things in here that should not be in here? And are there things in here that I have failed to put in here? Because I promise you this, folks, what you keep as a treasure in the treasure chest of your heart will affect you in so many areas of your life. Let's look for some things and make sure that they're in our heart this morning. Things to place in the treasure chest of your heart. Number one, I pray that the first thing that you find in your heart is faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I pray that you have a saved heart, a saved heart. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now look right up here and let me help you with this. This is the most important point that we will make, and we'll probably spend the least amount of time on it. But please listen. There's no way your heart is ever going to be right until you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Those of you that have been saved, but you have memories of what I call your BC life, before Christ life, would you say a hearty amen? Things just weren't right, were they? And you know, we want to say, well, it's because of this person, it's because of this circumstances, and we are always trying to figure out why things weren't right in here. But you know what? When we finally took the time to listen to the gospel, when we finally allowed the convicting power of God to come upon us, and we really considered eternity, and we gave an honest listen to a preacher or to maybe a co-worker that was a Christian, maybe somebody handed you a little pamphlet or a tract with the gospel message. Maybe you were driving down the road and you turned on a radio and you heard the gospel. But you know what? God used maybe several of these things, and there came a time when you received Christ, and you know what? The moment that you took your heart and accepted with your heart the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, all things pass away, all things become new. Hallelujah for salvation. I was thinking this morning of the change that I've been able to see in people's lives that have been saved, and all over this auditorium are testimonies of transformed lives, changed hearts, simply because they had that day when they embraced salvation, when they received Christ as their Savior. The memory, as I was going through it, that God brought to my mind this morning was the first time, about 5-6 years ago, that I drove over to Lima, Ohio, to preach for Pastor Bill Turner. I didn't know Bill Turner. He called me, wanted me to come and do a Monday, Tuesday night spring revival for him. I agreed to do it. I didn't know him, didn't know the ministry. First time I walked into his church on that Monday night, I was going around shaking hands, greeting the people, welcoming them. There was a young man there that, to be honest with you, is just a little bit scruffy looking, and just the kind of guy that we are always glad to have, but I'm not sure you would have looked at him and thought, well, there's a faithful member of his church. And so I walked over to him and introduced myself, and his name was Clint, and I shook his hand. And I said, Clint, do you, this is a question I asked him. I said, is this your church home? And he looked very confused by that question. And finally he looked and said, I guess. Well, I didn't realize it, but he was a brand new visitor. He didn't know what church home meant. I guess he thought, I'm here. And if you want it to be my home, I guess we can do that, you know. And so he just said, well, I guess it is. And I said, well, good. And I thought, I'm not connected with him. I got up that night, didn't know a thing about him, preached the gospel. After the service, I could tell he was under conviction, but he never came forward in the invitation. But you know what? We didn't know more, dismissed the service. And I seen him make a beeline for the pastor, and the pastor take him back into his office. And he came out a few minutes later, and he said, Brother Ross, I want you to meet someone. I said, I've met him. His name is Clint. And he said he just received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Now, what's neat about those type of things is that about a year and a half later, I got to go back and preach for Brother Turner again. Now, folks, a lot of times the changes in our life that happen to the people around us happen very slowly and gradually. Thank God for growth in grace. Amen. Nobody gets there overnight, and nobody gets there until one of these days we take on the glorified body waiting for us. But I had the advantage of having not seen Clint for about 18 months. I remember walking in the church the night that I came back a year and a half later to preach at the same church, and the usher waiting to greet me at the door was a young man named Clint. And I'm telling you what, he had a shirt on and a tie on and a nice haircut and a smile on his face. And folks, his countenance, I think above anything else, is what was so magnificent, the change that Jesus Christ, what happened to him, preacher? What happened? I'll tell you what, you know what? God touched his heart. Salvation touched his heart. Faith touched his heart. I said, Clint, what's going on in your life? Catch me up. I haven't seen you in 18 months. First thing he said was, I'm getting married. And I said, well, good. Amen. That's a blessing. I said, who are you marrying? And he looked kind of shy and bashful, and he pointed across the room, and Pastor Bill William Turner's daughter, 21-year-old daughter, is who he's pointing to. And I said, you're marrying the preacher's daughter? And he said, yes, I am. And I've been back there a couple times since then. I've got to see them welcome their first baby. And what I'm saying is, folks, listen to me. I don't know what your past holds. I don't know what complications are in your life. I don't know the condition of your everyday life and what you face, but I do know this. There is a transformation that takes place in an individual whose heart turns by faith to the finished work of Christ and say, you know what? I'm going to trust Jesus and what he did on Calvary's cross for my sin. I'm going to trust in his burial and his resurrection. I'm going to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. And there's just something amazing that happens. There's no way really for us to properly explain the new birth, but I'm going to tell you something. It is amazing. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would invite you to get saved today. Things that you ought to find in the treasure chest of your heart, put in the treasure chest of your heart, faith in the finished work of Christ. Number two, childlike trust in the Lord. childlike trust in the Lord. I love this verse, Proverbs 3, when I was doing a study on the heart preparing for this message. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know, one of the things that I hope that you'll find in the treasure chest of your heart is trusting God. That may seem like a simple thing, but I got to ask you this. Do you really trust the Lord? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about after salvation. We can trust the Lord for salvation, but sometimes as Christians not trust him in our day-to-day life. Some things that we don't understand. The Bible says, lean not into thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. One of the young men in our church, young adult men in our church, called me this week when I was out of town and asked a few questions. And he said, preacher, real quick, before I get you off the phone, I'd like to ask. And I love it. I love it when I get asked questions like this. But one of the young men in our church said, preacher, he said, I want to this summer. He said, I've never really memorized a large portion of Scripture. I've memorized a verse here and a verse there. But he said, I've just decided that I would like to just select a large portion of Scripture, maybe an entire chapter or a large part of a large chapter or some part of it, and just memorize it and just meditate on it and just use it for my summer Scripture. And he said, give me a suggestion. And you know what? Man alive, I mean, where do you go from there? I mean, there's so many wonderful portions of Scripture. But I don't know why, but immediately what God brought to my mind was Proverbs chapter number 3. And I told him, listen, I don't have a Bible open in front of me, but you ought to just take Proverbs chapter 3. I'd say the first 10, 12 verses somewhere in there. Just read down to where you feel comfortable. And I said, why don't you just memorize that? I don't know if there is a portion of Scripture that just ministers in so many different ways and helps us as Christians. Now, contained in that portion of Scripture is the verse here, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. With all thy heart. Do you really in your heart, have you put in the treasure chest in your heart, a trust in the Lord? I was up at Kelsey's graduation and I got to spend some time with Dave and Lacey Peach, and they said to tell everybody hi, and they want to get down and see us, and you know, everybody's busy, but I got to see Dave and spend some time. I got to talk to Lacey. Lacey, by the way, is expecting another baby. And did I tell you that my daughter Hannah is expecting another baby? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to man. Amen. It's exciting. Put a smile on Grandpa's face. She comes to the house the other night to see us, to break the news. She never wants to tell me over the phone. You know why? They want to see my reaction. You know why? Because I always give them a reaction. A reaction. And very exciting. Well, when we were standing there talking after the service, a preacher came by, and Dave Peach said, Brother Bish, come here. And he looked at me and he said, you have to meet this man. A man by the name of Thomas E. Bish, pastors in Connecticut. And he said, Brother Bish, would you have a copy of your book? I'll buy it from you. I want to give it to Brother Ross here. And he said, you got to meet this man. And he got him over there. And a guy, he's only about this tall, not real tall guy. And he's glad to meet you. And he said, he's got a testimony. He's got a story. You've got to hear it. And you've got to read his book. And he said, he was very gracious. He said, preacher, I've got one in the car. He said, I don't carry him around with me, but I got one in the car. I'd be glad to run out and get it for you. And I said, I'd love to get it. And the name of the book is this, When the Touch of God Hurts. When the Touch of God Hurts. Now, I haven't had a chance to finish the book yet. I've just gotten into it. But I want to just read you part of chapter 1, the introductory chapter. It says this, some things never change. Some things are not meant to change. Some things that sometimes that thought brings comfort and security. Other times it does just the opposite. For me, this morning is the same as yesterday morning. In fact, it is the same as every morning that I can remember. It will be the same tomorrow morning and every morning for the rest of my life. This sameness, however, does not lend itself to comfort and security. I have to be very careful, because if I am not, these first few moments of consciousness might ruin the rest of my day. It has done it before, so I can't let it happen. Allow me to explain. I woke this morning at 5:30, rolled over, sat up on the edge of my bed. Directly across from me is a full-length mirror. There is only one wall in our bedroom that will accommodate a mirror, so necessity requires that the first thing I see every morning is my own reflection. That's a discouraging thought right there. It is what I see in the morning in that mirror that brings my first and biggest challenge of the day. Most people know the shock of the first glimpse in the mirror, the messy hair, unshaven face, bleary eyes. But my view is a bit more unsettling than that of most people, for sitting directly across from me, staring at me from the mirror, is a man with only one leg. The right leg is as normal as anyone else's, but the left leg ends about 6 inches below the knee. A ragged scar marks the spot where the lower part of the leg was amputated to end a long battle with cancer. Where an ankle and a foot used to be, where they will never be again. With that first glance into the mirror, a flood of emotion seems to come from nowhere. And if I'm not on guard, they will drown me in despair, frustration, regret, sadness. I have too much to do to be swept away with self-pity or regret. My family needs me. My church needs me. My Lord needs me. Despair, self-pity, regret will not change what I see. They will not grow a new leg for me. They will not get me through the day. They will not help me walk again. In reality, those things will cripple me far worse than I already am. I must quickly seize this moment and give myself, my day, and my disability to the Lord. This is the day which the Lord hath made it. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous. This is not what I planned. This is not what I used to be. This is not what I want to be. But it is who and what I am. And it is what God planned for me. And that truth alone makes it good. And I couldn't help but just read that opening chapter in the last couple of days. And it's one of these things where you got a book, and I wish I had blocked the time out because I couldn't finish it and I wanted to finish it. But what was he talking about in the introduction chapter of this book? Trusting in the Lord. You know, it's easy to trust in the Lord when we understand what he's doing. It's easy to trust in the Lord then when it makes sense what he's doing. It's hard to trust in the Lord when what we see and what we experience doesn't make sense to us. Moms, are you trusting in the Lord? Dads, are you trusting in the Lord? Young person, preacher, you know what? Some things have been dealt to me in life that I wish hadn't been dealt to me. Are you trusting in the Lord? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let me tell you something else that I hope you'll find in the treasure chest of your heart. I pray that you'll find words of blessed wisdom. You see, we need to have a saved heart and a trusting heart. But I'll tell you what, if we're going to be great people, we need to have a wise heart. Proverbs speaks of wisdom often. Chapter 2, verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee. I love what is said about Christ. If you're still in Luke chapter 2, if you'll flip over a page and look at verse number 51, we talked about Mary pondering in her heart the things that she heard the shepherds say, and keeping them there. In Luke chapter 2, verse 51, we see, and when he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother, again speaking of Mary, kept same word as we found over in the previous verse. In verse 19, it says, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. You know what? There were things that Mary heard that was said, words of wisdom, words of grace, words of encouragement. And she took those things and she put them in your heart. Everybody look up here. I'm going to help some of you right now. I mean, I can help you right now if you'll listen to me. There's some of you that have words that somebody said to you. And they aren't words of wisdom. And they aren't words of grace. And they were things that should never have been said. And you've taken those things that have been said and you've put them in the treasure chest of your heart. And you know what? From time to time when you dump out your heart or you have those times to ponder your heart, you know what you see? You see words said again that should have never been said. You hear again and feel again the hurtfulness of things that should have never been said to you. You grew up with the same type of parents that I did, and when somebody would say something to you, they would teach you a little poem. Sticks and stones and break my bones, but words will never harm me. And you know what? It sounds good. But the honest truth is, the book of Proverbs says death and life is in the power of the tongue. And words can be very hurtful. You know what? It's crazy. I have sat in the office with middle-aged men and watched strong, masculine, middle-aged men weep over something that a daddy said in a fit of anger 40 years before in their life. Weep over something that a mom said to them 35, 40 years before. Now, how do you help somebody like that, preacher? And by the way, there is help. Some of you ladies, you carry something that somebody said something to you, and you know what? It was wrong, and it was unfair, and it was wicked, and it should have never been said, but you know what? You took that, and you put it in your heart. From time to time, you pull it out, and you look at it, and then you relive all this. Listen, you have to decide what you're going to treasure up in your heart. I'm telling you, there's a process that you can go through. And it takes the grace of God. I'm not saying it doesn't take the grace of God, but I believe there's a process that you can go through. Some of you need to empty out those things that you've treasured up in your heart, and you need to take some of those things that have haunted you for years, and you need to see them and recognize them for what they are, and you need to take them out of the treasure chest of your heart and throw them in the garbage and dispose of them and put them behind you and say, they are no longer going to reside in my heart and have an effect on my soul. You know what, folks? I'm very, very careful the words that I allow to lodge in my heart. This is going to shock you because I'm such a wonderful person. But there's been times in my life that people have said very hurtful and very hateful things to me. And by the way, I'm not on a pity party here. There's nobody in the room that doesn't have that same testimony. Come on now. I've had to decide what I'm going to do with those things. I have to decide what kind of power I'm going to give those things in my life. You know what? I had something happen to me about a year and a half ago. I've not shared this with anybody. I'm going to share it with you now. I was away from here, and I was preaching out in a different state, and there was a gentleman that came to me, and it's one of those situations where you are looking at this person, and you're like, I know that I ought to know them. You ever been there? So, you know, we use the word brother, you know, to cover ourselves. Hey, brother, good to see you. And, you know, I'm scared to even, I used to be able to, thought I could really fake him out. I'd say, how are the wife and kids? You know, the guy's not even married, you know, or, you know, doesn't have children or something, you know. So I don't even do that anymore. Now I just kind of give up and say, I know you, I should know you, forgive me. Please remind me, where have we met before? And that's what I said to him. And he looked a little startled and he began to cry. And he said to me, you're Jerry Ross, I know you. And I said, I'm sorry, I should know you. And he said his name, and I remembered him. And he said, when our pastor scheduled for you to come preach at our church, God began to convict my heart. And he said, years ago, when we were in Bible college together, he said, I said something to you that I should not have said. And you know, this is a huge moment in his life. He's about to purge himself. He's about to repent of this. I don't have any memory. None of this. I'm looking at this guy. Now I know who he is. I remember knowing him in college. I remember we played on the same basketball team together. And I remember that we worked in Fisherman's Club together. I don't remember a negative thing that he ever said to me. And I told him, I said, brother, you're about to apologize for something that I have no memory of. Now watch this. By the way, a wise man here. He said, you may not, but I do. You may not, but I do. If God has blessed me with anything, and I mean this, y'all that have great memories can brag about it. I'm glad I don't. I mean it. I mean that. Now, are there important things that I remember? Yeah. What are they? The things that I choose to treasure into my heart. I can tell you why I don't remember that. You know why I don't remember it? Because I learned early in life what I'm trying to teach you this morning. There are some things that are said that you ought to look at and you ought to just take a moment. They were unkind, they were hurtful, they were uncalled for, they were nasty, they were wicked. Say it, whatever you want about it. But you have to look at that and you have to, first of all, consider the source. And by the way, that doesn't necessarily make that a bad person. Come on now, let's be a little helpful here. You've never said anything to somebody that you wish you hadn't said later on? Do you want to be defined forever in their memory by that bad moment? So I'm not going to do that to that guy because I've been that guy. So I look at what was said and I say, you know what? I'm going to pray for him. He's probably having a bad day. You know what I think? I think maybe he got a call this morning that his mama's sick. Maybe his daddy found out that he's got cancer. Maybe he just lost his job. You know what? Maybe he's just having a normal human bad day. And you know what? I'm not going to hold this against him. I'm not going to put this on his account. I'm not going to carry this. I'm not going to give this any power in my life. And I take those things and I do exactly what every one of us ought to do. And I throw it down on the ground and I ask God to give me the grace to forget. And you know what? I mean this. When I stand up here and tell you, I cannot. I spent this morning saying, Lord, bring to my memory. I do not remember anything that anybody's done to me that's mean or nasty that carries any weight in my life to this day. You know why? Because there's things that go in that Maxwell House coffee can and there's things I won't put in there. Because from time to time, I want to ponder. And what I want to pull out of my heart and ponder is things that make me smile and things that make me laugh and things that make me cry for a good reason, things that touch my life and things that remind me of the goodness and grace of God and the miracles He's performed in my life. I want those type of memory. I told our church people when we had our B1 of 501 Sunday that ended up being B1 of 665 Sunday. And I told our members after that, a couple weeks later, I said, some of you have the little cards or some of you have the little buttons. You ought to take that somewhere and you ought to put it somewhere from time to time. You can pull it out and you can remember the good thing that God done. That's the kind of things I want to keep in my life. Now listen, folks, I'm glad that when I empty out my heart, there's words of wisdom. I'm glad that I kept those. I'm glad that there were those words of encouragement. I'm glad I kept those. I'm glad there were those words that helped me and ministered to me. I'm glad that there's the Word of God, God's words that came to me in unique times, verses that me. I'm glad they're all there. But that's all I'm keeping. I'm not keeping the junk. I'm not keeping the poison. I'm not giving it power in my life. Some of you right now, and I mean this, God's helping you right now because you've been held captive, you've been held prisoner by some unkind words that somebody said to you maybe years and years and years ago. And by the way, they probably don't even remember saying them, but you remember hearing them. And you've given them way too much power in your life. You know what it's time to do with these things? It's time to take them to the throne of grace. It's time to forgive that person. It's time to pray for that person. It's time to say, you know what? I've said some things I shouldn't have said, and they did the same to me. And you know what? I hope somebody forgives me that I forgot what I said, and I hope that, and I'm gonna forgive them and get that out of your heart. Listen, great mothers have great hearts, but great preachers have great hearts, and great Sunday school teachers have great hearts. Great men have great hearts. Great young people have great hearts. You know, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Bible talks about a merry heart. What else should I put in the treasure chest of my life? Happy memories of life. Happy memories of life. Why? Because a merry heart, Proverbs 15:13, maketh a cheerful countenance. Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. I like that. It's like a buffet. Happy memories are like a buffet. A merry heart, Proverbs 17:22, doeth good like a medicine. I collect in my heart a treasure chest of happy heart memories, happy heart memories. That's what I'm going to remember. I'm going to remember the good times. I'm going to remember the best about a person. I'm going to remember the happy memories. You know, the fun part about getting older is you've got a pretty nice collection of happy memories if you've taken the time to secure them in your heart. Some of you, if you ask God to help you examine the contents of your heart, some of you are captivated. Some of you are discouraged because of the memories, some bad memories in your life. Again, you know what? It's time to get those things out and put in their place happy memories. There's not a person you could mention that I'm close to that I could not tell you I have both bad memories about and good memories about. What do you do with the bad memories? They're not allowed in my treasure chest. What do you put in there? The good memories. Isn't it fun raising kids? Moms, isn't it a blast to have children? Aren't there so many wonderful memories that you can have? See, some of you are bitter. We got mothers that come in here this morning. I want to help you. I mean this, but you're bitter over something one of your children did or said to you. Why don't you trade that in for the happy memories? You're telling me you never had a happy memory with that child? Come on now. Some of you are saying, well, I know everybody else is celebrating Mother's Day, but my mom did. Oh, really? She did that. She also went to the jaws of death for you to deliver. She also gave you life. She also stayed up and took care of you when nobody else took it. Come on now. Isn't it amazing how the devil wants to take one incident, one bad moment, and put that into our heart and bring it in front of us and cause us to constantly be upset and depressed over one thing? Listen, I'm not going to be captivated by that. I'm not going to live that way. I'm just not. Every one of our daughters have provided for us so much joy and so much happiness and so many precious memories. You know, I at this point, I got in my notes, just spend the rest of the sermon telling Tabitha stories. And I could. I could not only spend the rest of the sermon, I could spend the rest of the day telling Tabitha stories. My two favorite Tabitha stories is probably, where's Tabitha? How are you, honey? You doing good? This is what you get for leaving me in August, all right? You're going to pay for it over and over and over again. I remember we were looking for Tabitha. It's 10 days before Christmas, 9 days before Christmas. I don't know. We can't find her in the house. Cheryl's like, did you see Tabitha? No, I didn't see her. Don't worry about it. We started looking around. We can't find her anywhere. You know, she's 9 years old. At that point, you really need to locate a child who's nine at some point during the day and know where she's at least. And so finally, I'm looking around, and we have our Christmas tree set up, and we have presents all around it, some presents. And I look over at the Christmas tree, and I see her feet sticking out from the Christmas tree. And I'm like, I think I found her. And so I go over to the Christmas tree, and she's laying in the middle of the presents, looking up through the branches of the Christmas tree, and she's saying over and over again, 9 more days till Christmas. 9 more days till Christmas. When she was real little, I'm talking about maybe about, you know, 3 years old, maybe 4 years old, we were playing a game. You know how you set your kids in the recliner with you and you start, you know, maybe she was younger than that, I don't know. But I look at her and I'd say, what are these? And she'd say, ears. And I'd say, what's this? Mouth. And what's this? Nose. And what's this? Chin. And what's this? Forehead. And I said, what are these? And she said, feelings. I said, what are these? Feelings. You see, she's got a very wicked older sister by the name of Amanda that basically spent her entire growing up years manipulating her younger sister. And so whenever she wanted Tabitha to do something for her and Tabitha didn't want to do it, she would get all sad looking and she would go like this and she'd say, you're hurting my feelings, you're hurting my feelings. And then Tabitha would feel bad and give in and do what she wanted to do. She did that so many times she thought these were your feelings right here. So these are eyebrows right there. Now you know what? That's why your preacher smiles while you're grumbling. That's why your preacher's happy when you're spending most of your time walking around with the mully grums. You got to decide what you're going to put in there. Well, so-and-so shouldn't. Okay, they shouldn't have. Now, how much power are you going to give it? But I wish this hadn't happened. I wish it hadn't happened. I mean it. I'm sorry. I wish it hadn't happened to you also. I mean it. I hurt with you. Now, how much power are you going to give it for the rest of your life? You see, folks, Mary taught us something here. One of the reasons that we find Mary at the beginning giving birth to Christ, but all the way into the book of Acts, never really wavering, still serving God, still faithfully involved in prayer meetings and the propagation of the gospel. One of the reasons we find her long term is she was wise enough to pick carefully the things that she would put in her heart. And moms, listen to me. I know life's tough, and I know there's a lot of things that are unfair, and I know there's a lot of hurt that comes into the average person's life who's not looking for any problems at all. It's just called life. But there's some things that as you empty it out, and I'm praying some of you, God's giving you the victory this morning. Already the Lord's helping you sort through some things and say, you know what, that's been in there long enough, get it out of here. And that's been in there long enough. And you know what, those words, they don't mean a thing. Get them out of there. And by the way, here's something that you could put into their place, and here's something you can put in their place. And you know what, I think Mary was not only a great mother, but I think Mary was a great Christian because Mary had a great heart. There's so many other things we could talk about. Consecrated contentment with life. Spiritual sacred songs of the faith. I'm telling you, one of the best things you can do. The Bible says, speak into yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Great mothers have a great heart, a singing heart. The best moms, I think, are singing. Oh, preacher, but I don't have a voice. I'm not talking about standing up in church and preaching or singing. I'm talking about in the kitchen. I'm talking about, listen, great moms are humming moms. Great moms are moms who understand the joy of the Lord is their strength. Brother Parker, I've called him twice since 2012 started accidentally. Pastor Bob Parker, I've called him twice accidentally. What is it with these phones? You know, when I'm trying to make a call, they won't work. When I'm not even trying to make a call, they decide to make a call. Twice this year, that phone has rang. His phone has rang with me having no intent to call him. The first time that I called him this year, I was preparing for chapel. I was getting ready to go out to chapel, and I was not only going to preach, but I decided I wanted to lead singing, so I was picking out songs, and I was practicing songs in my office. And I'm singing, and I'm singing with zeal, and I'm getting my voice warmed up. And in the midst of all this motion, I somehow bump my phone, and I call Brother Parker. So he answers the phone. Hello. And I'm just going at it, you know, victory in Jesus, my Savior. And then I practice another song, and he's just listening and listening and listening. Listening. Finally, he hangs up and he calls me back, and I think, oh, Pastor Parker. And I'm like, hey, listen, I just got a minute. I got to go to the chapel. Do I need to call you back? He said, well, I've been listening to you for the last 5 minutes. I said, what? I've been listening. What do you mean? You called me. I answered the phone. You're singing this song and this song and this song. And I said, oh, my goodness sakes, that was embarrassing, you know? And the second time that I called him happened a couple weeks ago. And we had Ariana with us. And I don't know if this happened when I was out in Virginia. It's kind of a blur the last month or here. But Ariana is getting ready for her kindergarten graduation. She's got 36 verses that she has to have memorized. And if she gets those, then she gets a trophy. So I grabbed her and set her in the recliner with me, and I got the piece of paper out, and she's wiggling around beside me, and apparently hits my phone, and now we're calling Brother Parker again, only we don't know it. And so I'm giving her Genesis 1:1, and she says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And Genesis 11:35, Jesus wept. And other important verses of the Bible. And I'm going through these verses with her. Well, the phone's ringing. Brother Parker picks it up. And he's listening to me give the references and the five-year-old voice of my granddaughter quoting those verses. Well, he listens for about 5 minutes or so, and then all of a sudden the phone rings. And I pick it up, and I say, Brother, what do you need? And he said, nothing, Brother Jerry. I got what I need. And he started crying, and he said, Brother Jerry, I'll be honest with you. I was having a rough day today. And I told God, I said, God, I'm not trying to be selfish, but I need just a blessing today. He said, I saw your phone call, and I thought, you know what? God's going to have Brother Jerry give me a blessing today. He's got a good word for me. He's going to call and encourage me. I answered the phone, and he said, for the last 5 or 6 minutes, I listened to you give a reference. By the way, Brother and Mrs. Parker are expecting now their first grandchild. And he told me, he said, you know what? It gets discouraging at times. The ministry's tough at times. But he said, I bowed my head and I said, Lord, help me to one of these days be able to sit with one of my grandchildren and listen to him quote the word of God. He said, preacher, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you so much. Now, folks, listen to me. Don't miss this. Don't miss what I'm about to say. There's things you better put on your heart. And you need them. There's going to be times you've got to have them. And they need to be the right things. But there's also things that you just need to lay aside. Come on, it's drug you down long enough, hasn't it? Let's put it off to the side. What are you talking about? I don't have to tell you. God's telling you. Come on, come on. Are you communicating with God through this? He's in here. He's with us. All right. I don't have to say it. God's telling you. There's some things that, you know what? It's had enough influence in your life. Set it off to the side. It's had enough power in your life. Set it off to your side. Decide that your heart's going to become a treasure chest of good things, godly things, sweet things. And then from time to time when you need to, ponder upon those things. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness to us each and every day. Lord, we're humbled when we really stop to count our blessings. And Lord, there are so many things that are so powerful and so sweet and so good and so godly that you've allowed to touch our life through the years. So many times, God, they're forgotten in a moment's time. Those are the things we leave behind. And yet, yes, everyone's life contains hardships and hurt and really sometimes some very unfair and wicked things. And Lord, I would pray, dear God, that you would allow us to experience a real victory in our lives today. Help us to sort through the treasure chest of our heart. Help us to ask, as David did, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Help us to get your approval on what ought to be placed back in there and what ought to be discarded. More than anything else in the world, Lord, I would pray as we go through this process of examination that every person in this room would first and foremost look in their heart to make sure that has been that moment when they truly received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because the heart's never going to be right until the Savior touches it and transforms it. And Jesus, you died for our sins upon Calvary's cross. You were buried and you rose again. You came and lived a perfect life so that you could pay for our sins. You were not only the Son of God, you were God the Son, the perfect Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for that memory, Lord, that's in my heart of being in a little Baptist church out in the country and hearing a gospel message and falling under conviction of sin. Thank you for the memory of walking down an aisle, kneeling at an altar, and praying and embracing the gospel and asking for salvation. Thank you for all of these things. If there's anyone here this morning that's never received you as a Savior, I would pray that they would be saved today. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I would like to pray for you, and I'd like to do it in two different ways. First of all, if you're here today without Jesus as your Savior, I'd like to pray for you. I won't embarrass you, I promise you that. I'm not going to come to you, I'm not going to call your name. But if you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I've never been saved, and God has spent this message convicting me and drawing me, and I need to receive Christ as my Savior," you're right. Nothing's going to be right till I get that right. I'm not saved, but I am concerned about it. And God is dealing with my heart about it. And preacher, I'd just like you to pray for me. If you're here today without Christ as your Savior, you're not saved, and you'd like me to pray for you. Again, I won't call your name, but I will pray for you. Would you just slip your hand up just real quick, up and down? "Preacher, I'm not saved." I see that hand. God bless you. I'm not saved. Would you say a prayer for me, preacher? Just kind of remembering a prayer. God bless you, ma'am. I see that hand. Somebody else. "Preacher, God's been dealing with my heart about salvation, and I just need to be saved. Would you pray for me, preacher?" Anybody else? Anyone else at all? Some of you say, many of you probably say, "Preacher, yeah, I know that Jesus is my Savior. But during the message, the Holy Spirit has been very sweet and tender to me and kind enough to help me to see that there's things that I've allowed to find lodging in my heart that really needs to be dispelled. Preacher, there's too many things that have too long had control and caused hurt. And the Lord's helped me with this morning. Preacher, just pray that I can get victory in this area of my life. Pray that I'll clean out the things that ought to be cleaned out and grab hold of the things that ought to be kept in my heart. Preacher, I needed to hear that message this morning. I needed that. Would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you all over the auditorium, everywhere, just about everywhere. God bless so many of you. God bless you. Let's pray together. God, I pray for these two that I saw. I may have missed someone, but I pray for these two that raised their hand, and they don't know if they're saved, Lord, and they are convicted, and they know they need to be saved. Would you please bring them forward as you brought me as a young man from my seat to the nearest aisle down, so that somebody could take the Bible and show me how to be saved. Lord, one of the greatest memories, one of the greatest moments of my life, the greatest moment of my life, the day that I received Christ. Bless these two ladies. Help us to be able to help them today. And then, Lord, all over the auditorium, it's amazing the things sometimes that we don't even know have found place in our heart until a message like this and the sweet tenderness of the Spirit of God helps us to see them. And, Lord, Satan has had enough victory in our life. It's time, Lord, for us to get the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. May those who need to forgive just simply forgive. For those that need to forget, Lord, give them the grace just to not remember, just to forget, to place that memory off to the side. Even in the future, if Satan tries to bring it back to their mind, I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to just simply rebuke him. Nope, I've laid that aside. I know where that road ends. I know that it leads to nothing but darkness and a dead end, that I'm not going down that road anymore. God's given me victory over it. It's time to move on. It's time to think of something else. Lord, give them the grace that they need. And Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for helping us today. We pray in Jesus' name.